Steve Fletcher, Artistic Director of Swicker Carnival. It's Sunday the 29th of June, and I'm talking to Alva Davey, who will spell her name for us.
A-L-V-A, D-A-V-E-Y.
Alva, you're a long-term participant and contributor to the development of Cardiff Masked Carnival. Can you tell us a bit about your involvement?
My children knew one of the people who was first involved with Mass Carnival, the first carnival, and I'd made lots of costumes for Rubicon Dance, and she said to me, come along, it won't be a difficult thing, it'll be fine. And I said, oh, I don't know about making big costumes like that, I've never done anything like that. And I went along, and the rest is history. I turned up to the launch party, and before I knew it, I'd been signed up. Steve was there, very enthusiastic, and, oh yes, we welcome everybody. And the next day, I found myself up in the science labs of Fitzalan School, making pom-poms, and I saw someone threading up a sewing machine, and I could see that they didn't know what they were doing. And so I, being very bossy, I popped over and I said, this is how you want to do it, and you want to alter the tension like that. And Amaru pounced on me, and he said, I see you can use a sewing machine. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I make costumes. Before that, I'd been making pom-poms peacefully and talking to people. And before I knew it, I had 30 metres of yellow silk, a dancer who was going to be quite important in the show, and I was agreeing to make her dress. She spoke very little English. Amaru spoke English with a Caribbean accent, and we soon realised that we didn't understand each other very well. And we were sitting on the teacher's desk of the science desk, and drawing ourselves pictures, and they were showing me, this is what you do, this is what we want. And I went home that night and I began making this dress. And as I was cutting into the material, I thought, God, this is worth a fortune. I don't know if I should be doing this, but I did. And that was history, really. I've just carried on and on. And at first, my children were involved, and my husband, who's not so forthcoming, was on the sidelines, and he took photos of the first one. But then the force took over, and he, oddly, became one of the people who would always want a big costume. As soon as the carnival was announced, he'd be like, oh, I could do that. And as soon as you put him into costume, he turned into some kind of wild man, which was quite funny, really, because he's quite restrained in real life. So, yes, we carried on until I moved to Cornwall, and I did the next. The last year I did was 2002, when I returned and made carnival on my own, which was really strange for me because I was staying with the makers, and I was able to give as much time as I wanted to making, which I never had done, because I'd always had my family as well. And so that had been, to do that as the last thing was great, because I could work as much as I wanted to and do exactly what I wanted to do for the first time in carnival. It changed my children's outlook completely. I was just speaking to my son, and he said he never would have had the courage to go to the drama department and say, oh, I can do this and I can do this and this, if he hadn't done carnival, because he'd learnt that things that he looked at and thought, oh, no, I can't do that, next thing he found that he could, because he tried and found he could do it. So he thinks that that sent him to a career in technical theatre, and it made him less afraid of all sorts of people, because there were people there with mental health difficulties. There were people there with special needs. There are people from all cultures and all ages. And because you just start to mix with people, you take the fear out of people. And my daughter carried on and went and did a year in Senegal teaching and met her husband. And she said that because where she lived in Cardiff, she never would have mixed with black people, Indian people, because where her school was mainly white children. And that also took the fear out for her. And so that's what made her interested in other cultures. And so it's had a massive impact on our lives. It gave me confidence, because when I went there first, I'd been at home with my children. And although I could do that, nobody had ever asked me to do something outside my comfort zone. But this was definitely outside my comfort zone. And over the years, becoming more and more involved, I learnt to use so many materials and things like fiberglass, that kind of thing, that you just don't come across normally as a costume maker. And since then, I've made costumes for Kids R Us in St Ives since I've been back here. And they were amazed when I got out the fiberglass and said, we can do this with fiberglass. And people just don't know how to use those materials, and it's been a revelation. And the other thing, I'm quite a controlling parent, and this carnival definitely allowed my children to be wild. It stopped me being, where are you going and what are you doing, because I was busy, and they got up to probably all sorts of appalling things, but in a reasonably safe environment. So that was quite good, that they got to do things without me. They had undirected time, I think they call it now, and that made them more self-reliant, and they really loved it. And just now, when I was speaking to my son, I said to him, which costume did you like best? And he said, oh, we made the blue man. And he had a sort of kite on his back of a blue man. And he said, I just love that costume. And that's probably going back 15 years for him, so maybe longer. And so it's had a lasting impression on our lives. My daughter was recently at Woodland School, and they were lighting fires at Woodland School. She works in a school. And she said to them, oh, I know a song about lighting fires. And she taught them a chant that we'd learnt in Maths. And so I was walking to school to pick up my grandchildren, and I passed these kids singing a chant that I remember from learning in Cardiff. And that was really bizarre. My eldest granddaughter was a really bad sleeper, and we all went on holiday to France, and Niamh got up, and Niamh was not going to sleep, and we all suddenly, Guy started singing the chants, and so then we all sat round and sang the chants. People would have thought we were nutcases, and that has really... That sent Niamh off to sleep, and both my other grandchildren, Guy's children, all sing the chants all the time, and they were taught a song like it in their choir, and they said at their choir, we know these other songs, and they sang them at the Albert Hall in their performance, their versions of the chants. So, you know, it's gone far and wide, really.
Can you remember how long a run of carnivals you did as a family with you at the helm?
We did from 1992 to 2002.
I wouldn't like to guess how many thousands of costumes you led and helped produce, Don. If you had some favourites, could you describe them to us?
The first one I made, which was the yellow dress. And at that time, I was very thin too. And I made this yellow dress, and I was very proud of it when I'd finished. And I put it on, because I was exactly the same size as her then. And of course, yellow looks terrible on white, pale skin. And I then there was a ring at my front doorbell, and I went to the door wearing this enormous yellow dress. But it was yellow silk, and it had puffy sleeves and that came down to a cuff, and then an enormous skirt made on a circle. And then all round the bottom, braids stitched on to give it weight so that when she danced, it moved. And I made a tiny little doll of the same design because she danced the dance with the doll. The others, I've made so many. I helped to make the wings of war for the stilt walkers. And it's a really big challenge. They were enormous wings. And to get them balanced, to get the problem that you don't end up with your stilt walkers falling over, was really, we kept getting them up on the stilts and trying them out, and they were too heavy. And so we were cutting the material back, because you've got to back your material onto something. And we were cutting it out and putting it onto fine mesh. And that they were really impressive once they were done. And I made a dress for a special needs guy called Keith. And he, I can't remember what the story was with the carnival, but he always wanted to be dressed up as a woman, much like Danny LaRue. And I made the most enormous white wedding cake sort of dress, with swags and bows, and every time he came in, he'd want something else adjusted onto his dress. He'd want more net. It turned out very much like the gypsy wedding dresses. And he wore it, and on the day, at the end of the carnival, he came up to me and he put his arms around me and he said, "I love you, Alva. You've made me so happy." And I thought, oh, well, that was quite an easy way to make somebody so happy, really, because I just made him. The dress must have been about 30 feet across, and it had fibre pole in it. And so as we got him out of the door, we had to have four of us to squeeze him up to get him out of the door. It was very, very funny, but he loved it. He absolutely loved it. So that was quite a highlight. I made a dress for Liz, the Queen, with a rainbow above it. And that was a real challenge because every time I put it together, it was rainbow skirted, lots of different colours, and that was relatively easy. But she had a rainbow above her head on a backpack. And every time I put it together and got her into it, then the rainbow would mix itself up. We couldn't get the fabric to lay flat. And in the end, we had to hand stitch it to the frame, and that took hours. But the effect was really good. And I've seen photographs of it from above, and that was really, really beautiful. Yeah,
I know you took part in some of the sort of the hidden carnival, the juve, the pre-carnival for participants, where in a sense we get excited for the proper carnival parade for the public. What recollections do you have of juve night?
The first juve night we did, our daughter was quite young. I can't think how young. And we covered ourselves in clay and went out into the cafe quarter in Cardiff. And it was a really hot night, unusual in Britain. And I looked through a pub window, and my daughter and Kevin, one of the stilt walkers, were standing on a table in a pub, shouting, "We come from hell." And that is just such a such a funny image. She is wearing rags and covered in clay all over. And indeed, she did look like she came from hell. And it was just so funny to see her standing and the people all laughing and clapping. And I remember Murray saying, baby devil. And even now, we always say, she comes from hell, baby devil. And and the other year, one year we did the blues. Oh, God. Our whole family painted themselves in blue face paint. Well, everybody did. But I hadn't reckoned on my whole house was blue for about 6 weeks. The blue would not wash out. Blue in the bath, blue on the towels, etc., etc. But we used to have such fun going out and just being wild and silly. Because to paint your face, amazingly, takes away most of your recognisable features. I've got photographs of me and my daughter with faces painted, and sometimes we can't tell which of us is which if you've wrapped up your hair and painted your face. So it gives you true anonymity. You've got the chance to go out and really have fun without anybody saying, I saw you in town on Saturday night. But yes, immense fun, Juve. I really, really enjoyed it.
And you remember the chant? You know me well, jab, jab.
Jab, I come from hell.
Jab, jab.
Pay thee, devil. Yes, I do. My daughter and my husband are better at it, though, than me. But yes, I do remember the chants, and I really enjoyed Juve. Because you've been very busy working up to the carnival, and at that point you go, well, what's not ready now isn't going to get ready. I'll go out and have fun. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Alpha, can I just thank you on behalf of the HLF project, 25th anniversary of Cardiff Carnival. Those insights are absolutely splendid. And thank you for all you did. Take care.